Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
You know, Jesus says that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And that happens when a person is drawn by the Lord and realizes, is shown, that they are a sinner through the law. We have all broken God's holy law. And if you have offended in just one part of the law, James chapter 2, verse 10, you are guilty of all. In other words, you might as well have broken all the law. And this is all because God is holy, holy, holy. One sin against God is as good as a million. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, some people think that they act like with God in the Supreme Court of the universe, that they're going to be okay and admitted into heaven when they die, because after all, they've lived a moral life for the most part, right? You know, that's like going before one of the local judges or the state judge or courts and telling the judge that, you know, you're such and such 50 years old or whatever, and, you know, you killed just one person, you know, but every other day of your life you killed no one. Is that going to fly? No, that's not going to fly. You're going to jail for the rest of your life, if not have your life taken or executed for your crime. In the Supreme Court of the universe, there is no graduated scale of judgment. You're either going to be holy before the Lord, which means you're in Christ. Holiness is Christ in you, or you in Him. And so if you die in Christ, you're going to be considered to be holy or separated from sin and this world unto and in Christ. And that's what holiness means, separated, sanctified unto the Lord. And that happens upon being born again. And thereafter, you are required to walk in the light as He, Christ, is in the light. And you will have fellowship with Him and the Father, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse you from all sin. The scriptures speak of initial and also final salvation. So many in the evangelical world today speak of just one part of salvation, and that's initial salvation. But after being saved, God requires that you abide, which means simply to continue to remain in vital union with Christ. That's what Jesus taught to those that are in Him, John 15:1-6. Those that are in Him must, that have been born again, that's the only people that are in Christ, those that are born again, you must abide, you must remain in Christ, or you're going to be cast into hell, into the fires of eternal damnation, John 15:6. You know, recently I was around some Catholics, and I firmly, clearly declared to them that you can confess your sins every day of your life until you're blue in the face, and not one of them will ever be forgiven. God doesn't forgive anyone's sins until they're first born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. There's no such thing as anyone who evolves, somehow morphs into a Christian. Jesus paid the price for our sins perfectly 2,000 years ago on that cross when he said, it is finished. And as soon as you are contacted by the blood, if you will, the blood of Christ, that moment you are regenerated and washed of all your sins. Amen. Who wouldn't want to have all of their sins washed away? Amen. Notice Colossians 1, beginning in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. We're partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, verse 13, Colossians 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Notice he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. It's an immediate transaction upon the repentance of the sinner where he puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So being translated out of darkness, out of spiritual darkness, and out of a place of darkness, having been captive to he who is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, into the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of light, because Jesus said that I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's make sure I got that one correct. John 8, verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. On this note, one commentary says that translated mean, I love that. I love the way the Bible uses this word, translated. Let's see, translated, pierced two times in the New Testament. The other time is when Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. He was translated into glory in a way that was miraculous. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 reads this way. This is the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the heroes of the faith, where God heralds some of his saints who walk by faith. You know, the Bible says in verse 6 of this chapter, and this is so directly applicable to you and I today, that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Not only reward those who diligently seek him, who live in faith, because without faith it is impossible to please him. But just before that verse, the Bible says, by faith, notice, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And you know, this is prefiguring of every saint in Christ who's also been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're going to be translated into eternal glory. We're going to change locations, and we're going to be with our King in the New Jerusalem. Notice here, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Revelation 21:4, I believe it is. There's going to be no more death. Jesus came to defeat the enemy called death. In fact, the Bible says that death is the last enemy that's going to be defeated. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So Enoch, by faith, he was translated because he lived by faith that he should not see death. He escaped death and was not found because God had translated him, and that's what God's going to do with us. He's going to translate us, those that have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light at the moment of being born again. That's the same miracle, divine miracle done in the hearts and the lives of those who the Bible says are regenerated, made new, brought back to life. Titus 3 verse 5 through 7, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which he shed on us abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Titus 3, 5 through 7. So Enoch is a type of Christ and Christians. He was raised up or translated, and before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Jesus, while on earth, pleased the Father, and those that are in Christ live to please him. And they're going to be translated Again, and eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those that love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Revelation tells us, Revelation chapter 21, let's look at verse 4, speaking of being translated to never experience anything else negative ever. That's the whole reason for Christ's salvation, that he might gather together in one, amen, in one place, his children. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. You know, if you're married and have children, you and your wife are never so complete, if you will, or feel such a contentment as to where when you have you and your beautiful children all together in one place, maybe sitting on a sofa and chairs and talking and eating and around your table. Amen. That's the same thing with God. Notice Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when all these things on earth are wrapped up, where God judges the wicked and he takes his children home, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Amen. And as we said at the onset, the only way to be in Christ is to be born again. There is no shortcut. You must repent. You must surrender and put all your faith in Jesus. And that becomes easier, if you will, when you realize that you are a wicked sinner. You're in big trouble with God. And you're going to stand before him in the Supreme Court of the universe to give account for your life, for every sin you ever committed in your heart or in action, in transgressions, the actual act of sin. Every one of us has lied. Thou shalt not bear false witness, says the law. Every one of us has lusted. Thou shalt not commit adultery, the Ten Commandments says. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery. God sees every motive and everything, every evil thing in our dark hearts. We cannot hide them from him. But he calls us to come home to him before it's too late, to settle out of court, to put your faith in the one he sent, Jesus Christ, to pay the full price one time on that cross. It was a transaction where God exchanged our unrighteousness for his righteousness. When we're in Christ, his righteousness clothes us, that our nakedness and our unrighteousness is not seen. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So in Ephesians 1:10, speaking of the fullness of times, when God is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both are, which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. Our Heavenly Father is going to bring all of his children together. Hallelujah. And he's going to wipe away, Revelation 21:4. He's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There it is. The last enemy that's going to be defeated is death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Verse 5 here, Revelation 21. And he that sat upon the throne said, this is the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Then he speaks of the separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 8, Revelation 21, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So in contrast, in stark contrast, those who die in sin, he names numerous classes of sinners here, and they were only sinners because they chose to remain in sin instead of receiving Christ, repenting and receiving Christ and being forgiven for all their sins. And God doesn't want wicked rebels who refuse to comply with him anywhere near, and they will not be anywhere near the gathering of his saints. Remember, we just read that he's going to bring all of his people, all that are in Christ. You're either in Christ or you're in sin. You're either corrupted and part of the corruption of sin, or you're in Christ. There's no middle ground. There's only two kingdoms. In fact, Jesus himself says he that is not with me is against me, and also that no man can serve two masters. So if you aren't born again, my friend, you are part of the kingdom of darkness. You're part of the fearful. That's the first class of sinner listed here, the timid, the cowardly. You're trying to ride the middle wave or be on the fence there, thinking you can play both parts. Not at all. You're going to die to yourself. You're going to surrender to Christ and receive the forgiveness of his blood, forgiveness of all your sins by his blood, and be washed. Are you going to the lake of fire? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, all these classes of sinners shall have their part. All liars, too, by the way, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Why? Because you refuse to overcome by the blood of a lamb, by faith. Remember, he just said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the Alpha and the Omega speaking. And he's going to wipe away all tears from the eyes of his saints when he brings us all together. There's going to be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Isn't that amazing? We'll never have to fear anything painful or negative again, for the former things are passed away. So now, we read in Genesis 5, verse 18, speaks about Enoch. We read in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. See, we're going to be translated. Notice Enoch by faith. See, Enoch lived by faith. See, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I want you to memorize that verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. The next verse here in Hebrews 11:6 says that. So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's the only people that are going to be translated by the Lord into his kingdom of light and ultimately into eternal glory, to be one of those who is going to be gathered together. Amen. I believe this is probably referring to the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, the chapter we were just in, gives specific details of the New Jerusalem. Boy, don't miss that place for anything. But the only way you're going to do that is to live by faith and love with Christ. You're going to have to fall in love, or be in love, not fall in love, but be in love with Christ, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. To choose to love him above yourself, to lay down your life and comply with the just requirements of the Son of God, who said you must be born again. You must be born again. You must repent and be saved into his kingdom, or you're not going to be with him. Here or there, you're going to go to a place of separation where the fire never shall be quenched, and your worm, your consciousness, will not cease, and those flames will feed upon your helpless, eternal body and soul forever and ever. So in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, all that are in heaven and that are on the earth. He's going to bring us all together. And Enoch is a picture of how God translated him from seeing death by faith. In fact, so many believe that the two witnesses of Revelation 11 are going to be Enoch and Elijah, because neither one seemed to have died or didn't die a natural death. Here we see God just took Enoch, that he shouldn't die like normal, like men naturally die. And he was not found. He could not be found again. God took him to heaven because God translated him, it says. For this is Hebrews 11:5. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So this verse could really be drilled down into. I want to encourage you to take a look at it. Hebrews 11:5. Notice he pleased God. The verse starts off with by faith. Then it says he pleased God. And that's how he pleased God. He lived by faith and not by sight. And the next words concern, as we quoted earlier, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So that means by faith, we please him, and we are ultimately going to be translated, those that have by faith translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son Jesus on earth, are going to be translated like Enoch was into eternal glory, where there will never be any more pain or sin or anything negative, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more excited about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, about being ready for his return, whether that be by my own death on this earth or at his coming, which I believe is going to be in our day for sure. Notice Jude verse 14. Let's look at this about Enoch. Jude verse 14 says this. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his angels." Now, it's interesting to note that there was an Enoch in Genesis 4:18. And then all 4:17 and 18, and also 5:18, but they weren't the same person. That's interesting. You can do a study on Enoch and the number of his years given here. Verse 22 of the fifth chapter, Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Remember, Methuselah lived to be the oldest, right? Was it 969 years, I believe? I'm not sure. Something like that. Okay, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. So again, the testimony we see of Enoch, although we don't have a lot of detail, verse 24, Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God. There it is again. Constantly talks about Enoch walking with God. And Enoch walked with God. Are you walking with God? That begins with being born again and then continuing in an abiding relationship with Christ. Enoch is a great example, even though it doesn't have, you know, an abundance of details about him. We know that he walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. See, God's going to take you away. He's going to take all of the members of his body away with him. Amen. To be with him forever. No different than when a man takes his bride and brings her into his sovereign dwelling place, where they're married and they have a marriage bed and they have intimacy for the rest of their days. That's a picture of how Jesus is going to take his bride into eternal glory for intimate, beautiful relationship forever with the Almighty himself, Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:18, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," he said, "the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and is and who is to come, the Almighty." It's Revelation 1:8, actually. So some would say that Enoch could not have been taken to heaven, because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So we all must die. Guess that would be the same case with Elijah, who God took up in that chariot. But principally, it's still the same. By faith, we're going to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son upon being born again and into eternal glory. I wouldn't argue that either way. So Israel failed when they did not accept and obey God by faith. They did not mix his word with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, they did not submit in obedience to God. They never came to love him and to know him. Those with the greatest faith are the ones who know God best, because they are continually working to develop their relationship with him, and by talking to him, by interacting, by abiding in him. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus himself says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." John 17:3, Paul said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." And Mary and Martha, you know, Mary chose to know the Lord, to sit at his feet, to worship him. Amen. So that is what Enoch did. And that's why he stood out and stands out in Holy Scripture. There is something interesting about Enoch himself that might be noteworthy to us living in this last day. On the heels of the fact that he walked with God, the writer, Scripture says that God took him and he was not. And could this be an indicator of who will be taken to a place of safety? Yes, it is. Enoch was taken away from trouble that he should not see the kind of violent death that otherwise would have come upon him. Like all others, God rescued him from it and placed him in another area somewhere, whether that be heaven or somewhere else. God took him. He translated him. We don't necessarily have specific details after that fact. So some might say that he took him away to another part of the earth, you know, where he lived his life in peace, dying a normal death. But either way, it's a picture of how we're going to be taken away from all suffering, death, sin, and evil. So notice here what Enoch was doing before he left. Remember, the Bible says that he pleased God. Okay, let's review what we read about Enoch. It's very compact. Enoch was translated by faith. He was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found. He was no longer ever seen again by man because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Notice that Enoch pleased God, and it was by faith. The verse, Hebrews 11:5, begins with by faith and ends with he pleased God. That's the only way that we can please God. Now, what does it look like? What does the life of a believer who's pleasing God look like? Well, we need to look no further than the life of Enoch. We see in Jude 1, verse 14, it's only one chapter long, Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, that is, against God. And I believe this word convince probably means to convict them. So the 10,000s of his saints, that's going to be us, are coming with Christ to execute judgment upon all. I don't know exactly all the details about that, but we do see that Enoch prophesied or preached of these. Now, who are these? Well, let's back up a little bit. Notice this. Remember, the book of Jude is only one chapter, and it's speaking of false prophets. That's the main topic. Okay, so he prophesied, Enoch prophesied of these false prophets. So Enoch pleased God by faith, and he spoke about false prophets and warned the other saints about them, right? We see that's going to be the one that are coming back with Christ. See, Paul said he did three things to prepare the body of Christ to be with Christ, to meet Christ that is coming, and to be with him forever. And that's PWT, preach, warn, teach. Preach, warn, teach. Colossians.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.